shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free.
The Herald of Truth broadcast is on the air, a program of spirit and truth dedicated to teaching the way of God more perfectly. These broadcasts contain keys to help unlock knowledge and reveal hidden truths of the Bible in these last days. Christians called to a higher level of understanding will be given Bible-based solutions to their personal as well as national problems. They will want to find out more about their part in God's plan. Our mailing address is Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas 72602, and will be given again at the end of this broadcast.
Good evening. This is Brother Mike of Kingdom Identity Ministries, welcoming you to another one of our first of the month Kingdom Concepts broadcasts. We're being heard tonight over radio station WWCR, 4.840 MHz and 5.890 MHz, that's transmitters 3 and 4, and also shortwave radio station WBCQ, 7.490 MHz. Both of those radio stations do have an internet link where you can listen, or you can go to our website, kingidentity.com, kingidentity.com. Go to our radio page, and you can see a link there for the live broadcast tonight. If anybody would like to participate in the broadcast, you can call 877-924-7722. That's a toll-free number. You can remember that by 877-YAWS-RACE, 877-924-7722. For our foreign listeners who can't dial the toll-free number, the number is 678-949-5091. That's a direct number, and anybody can call it if they wish to. 678-949-5091. Both of my guests for tonight's program are from South Africa. We will be discussing the situation in that country, along with what faces our race worldwide. Monica Stone was born and raised in South Africa, where she now resides, and also has lived in the United States. She's a believer in the Kingdom Identity message, a longtime activist working to wake up our people. In addition, with me tonight in our radio studio is my cousin Neil Frisch, a longtime resident of South Africa, originally from England, and I'd like to welcome both of you to the broadcast.
Thank you, Mike. Good evening.
Good morning, and thank you, Mike.
Yeah, you're calling us about 5 in the morning down there in South Africa.
Yeah,
and I really
it's so dark outside.
I appreciate you being here. Well,
you're welcome.
We were together for a broadcast was a couple years ago, and I know that a lot has changed since then, and I'd like to know what has taken place since then and what the current situation of our people are down there, and also how things differ from the apartheid era when whites ran the country. So, Monica, you're the lady. I'll just let you answer that first.
Thank you. Yeah, well, what can I say? When the whites were in power, there was order and no lawlessness like we have today. And what is running, it's running into chaos, into nothingness, and into the abyss. If there's not infighting in parliament, there's infighting in the council. This is what's happening here. And, of course, strikes forever and ever, and complaints about everything, from the most trivial to the most serious of students not wanting to pay for tuition at all. They want everything for free, and now some of the universities are closed. Cape Town is closed, and the Johannesburg University, and some university in the north here, I can't remember which one, but I can't cope with it all because it's changing every day. But anyway, they closed indefinitely. In Johannesburg, they had a clash, the students, insisting on having tuition for nothing. But the private security must be disbanded because they were firing rubber bullets on them, and that's a no-no. And now the latest is that the lecturers must go. They don't want any lecturers there. So the university is now closed indefinitely. I don't know what's going to happen. We're sinking deeper and deeper into chaos, and the government cannot control it, not at all, like the rest of Africa. I mean, it started in Ghana, was the first to get independence, and it just spiraled down to we're the last to fall. So 20 years later, 22 years later, it's just getting from bad to worse and to more chaos. And lawlessness, and more demands of this and this and that and the other thing. And of course, everything is blamed on apartheid. As I said the other day, the ANC government said that they cannot fulfill the promises yet because they're still trying to sort out the mess the white government made 22 years ago. So this is the excuse of not getting to supply water. That's virtually really not there because we're in a drought, something terrible. I mean, the dams are 30% full and sinking lower and lower. And one of the farmers told me the other day he's not going to plant any vegetables anymore because he can't use the water out of the rivers because it's too contaminated. So he's just planting alfalfa or lucerne, as we call it here, because that is now a good money maker, as there is nothing for the game or the cattle or the sheep to eat. So he's making lots of money out of that, reaping profits from suffering from the farmers. If they're not killed, then they're dying of thirst. What can I say? Anyway, Neil, over to you.
Thanks, Monica. Yes, largely, I have been away to the listeners from South Africa from July, but I can't obviously comment after that, but things have happened with President of South Africa, one Jacob Zuma. As Monica says, infrastructure is crumbling. There is a near zero growth rate. He has over 700 criminal charges hanging over his head. The High Court in South Africa ordered that charges be reinstated against him. The Constitution of South Africa gives a lot of power to the president to appoint important people such as the head prosecutor, judges, and so forth, which is okay if there is a good president, but with Mr. Zuma, I'm afraid the only person that is wanting to be looked after is himself. And the court has actually been quite independent, which is a good thing. On March the 31st this year, indeed, the highest court in the country, which we call the Constitutional Court, condemned Zuma's actions in a judgment, saying that he acted in a manner not inconsistent with the South African Constitution, which would normally mean that he should resign. Did he resign? No. He's going to stay in power as long as he's allowed to, in terms of the Constitution, which is 2 terms, 10 years total, and that comes to an end in 2019, when the next general election is due to take place. Furthermore, there were some elections in August, just after I left, to local municipalities, and the ANC did very badly in terms of what it had done in the past. It was, the vote for the ANC seems to have been in the 60% range, And it went down as a result of the local elections and the lack of service delivery and so forth from 62% to 54%, which in African terms is a very big reduction. The opposition parties seem to like having Zuma as president, as he's making sure that they get more votes in terms of his policies, or should I say non-policies, as Wanika has touched on. The South African voter has a proportional representation system. It's not like the USA, so that if you get 10% of the vote, you get 10% of the seat in Parliament, or here, of course, it would be Congress. So that is more or less what I have to say. Monica, I don't know what's happened since July. Of course, I can't comment on that. And I will just hand it over to you to comment further on what I said, if there's anything I've left out.
Well, Monica, you were born and raised in South Africa, and Neil's been there most of his adult life. And both of you, under the apartheid system when the whites ruled, just how have things changed since then?
Well, it, of course, changed to the worse. There's only blame games going on to take the attention off, especially, as Neil said, the charges against Zuma, 783 of them. He's just ignoring it. I think it's here the same situation like in the United States when Bush said, well, the Constitution is just a piece of paper. And here I'm sure it's the same thing, that it's only just a piece of paper. He's in power and he will stay in power. And, of course, he's the leader of the ANC. So getting rid of him or him resigning as president is not really going to change the whole setup, because he's still the leader of the ANC. He's got to be stepping down as leader of the ANC as well. And that's not going to happen till the next ANC Congress. That's 2017 or 2019, just before the election. Yes, there's a lot of fighting now, because the Democratic Alliance did much better than they did before. So the ANC is really unhappy about that. Just to put the listeners into the picture about the Democratic Alliance and the ANC, the differences between them is nothing. The one is communist and the other one is communist. So this is what I'm trying to tell the people here. And on root level, this is the most shocking thing, that the white South Africans have no clue of what politics entails. They have no idea what communism is. They don't have an idea what's Bolshevism. When I asked them just before the election, so who are you going to vote for? Oh, the Democratic Alliance. And I asked, well, why? Because there are more white people in the Democratic Alliance. When I said, well, they're still communist, I just got blank stares. They just don't understand it. So this is my reason why I say...
What's taking place there?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. They go so deep in denial that it doesn't exist. I think it is sort of a self-defense mechanism. I don't understand it. But then, I mean, I've studied politics and communism, Bolshevism, et cetera, for my whole life, because I grew up in a house very politically aware. Most people here are not, because they had good government and the government took care of them. So they think it's just going to continue. That, oh, things are going to change now because the DA is in power. So, they're going to, fill all the potholes in the streets. And that's a good thing. Don't you think? That type of argument, Not the bigger picture. They don't understand it. Not at all. And this is very, very frustrating. That
I
we not
you
only...
telling me several years ago that people would go to the polling place and vote to give black rule to the country, and they do it with their tennis rackets and their soccer balls and whatever else sporting, because the whole thing was, well, we'll have international sporting events.
Exactly. Mike, that was during the referendum. I worked one of the polls. It was in Johannesburg, very, very liberal. And where I was sitting, of course, was the no vote. And the yes vote to give the country away. And this long, long line of people with rugby balls, with soccer balls, whatever. And I remember one guy came over and he said, "I feel so sorry for you, because at least now we will be playing cricket against New Zealand again." So I said, "Well, you know, you will remember what I'm telling you now. It's going to be a disaster, but if you want to sell your soul to sport, well, just go ahead and do that." I don't know if he remembered what I said. It doesn't really matter. Maybe he's already murdered by one of the communists he supported. It is, the average person is so sport crazy. I mean, you see it in the States too. It doesn't matter. Who's in power, just as long as they can go and watch football.
The truth, because if they understand, they have responsibility, and they don't want the responsibility, so they'll just ignore it when somebody tries to present truth to them.
Exactly. I mean, I had a visitor the other day, and he was really bragging about his son-in-law that went to Parliament. He was invited by the ANC government to come and pray in Parliament so that they can stop fighting in Parliament. So I said, you know, you go into the synagogue of Satan and you ask the God to stop the fighting between the ANC or between all the factions. I mean, this is also a racial war. The Zulu will never get on with the Xhosa, and this is what it's all about. I'll get to that in just a minute. But anyway, so I said, you cannot do that. So he couldn't understand that. He said to me, "I'm unreasonable." That's a good thing if there is peace in Parliament. Maybe he thinks that it'll spiral down to the root level or outside the Parliament buildings. But anyway, it's not going to happen. Well, I don't know if Neil was here when we had the riots. It's a couple of weeks ago, around Pretoria. Was really, really bad. They burned lots of buildings and shopping malls. And it just slipped out by accident. It was just squashed very quickly. The ANC appointed in this area ANC mayor, and she is a Zulu. And this area is Peri. And they very clearly stated, "We do not want the Zulu here as the mayor because we are Peri." So they rioted and they burned vehicles, buses, shopping malls. We don't even know how many were killed, because that will not be known. The whole thing here is that there's a complete silence about protests, about burning, about murders. We have no idea. The SABC is not telling the people what's going on in the country, because they say that will incite them to even riot more. So the only way you know there's a protest going on is to listen to the travel report. You don't go on this road because there's a protest, but they will not tell you why. But that's not really important. The problem is that you can land into a protest march that can maybe kill you. In brackets, what the AAA said, the AA in South Africa said the other day, as good advice to people landing in a protest march is to get out and talk to the mob and tell them that you're here in peace and you don't mean to do them any harm, and they will just leave you alone. This is as far as we go. I mean, getting out of your car is the most dangerous thing for you to do. When you land into a protest meeting, you must try and get out of it as soon as possible, not trying to calm the mob down. They all emotionally so high on adrenaline to burn and to riot that they're not going to listen to you. You can't reason with them at all. But, yeah, this is what's happening here.
The black nature is the same worldwide. They're unassimilable in any civilized country. I know that in this country, they recently had a black cop kill a black man, and there was a black police chief that was over in North Carolina, and what they called protest in the news media was actually riots. They were breaking out windows and assaulting people and so on. And you don't get any honest reporting in the Jewish-owned news media. Sure you have the same media down there, Jewish-owned, and the movies and their influence in the public school system.
Yeah, of course. It's the same story, and they just won't report black on white violence at all. But it's interesting they just don't care if they kill their own. Of course, if a black policeman is killing an innocent teenager, then they make a big deal out of it because they use it as propaganda, of course. Here we have the same, but it's not reaching the media. In actual fact, they fired 6 journalists working for the SABC because they were protesting against the moratorium of complete blackout of violence, be it black on white or just white or black, whatever. And they had to go to court. They were reinstated, but of course nothing happened as yet. It's still going on. And the DA was marching the other day to the SABC headquarters to complain about that. But this is what they can do, is just complain and nothing happens. Unbelievable. It's and of course, they in the United States complain about slavery, and I see they're talking about reparations now, like they do here about apartheid, and they will complain about that till doomsday come, because they have nothing to offer but just play the blame game. They cannot build up anything. It's just destruction. This is what they do.
Yes, I think one of the troubles, of course, is in South Africa is that there's the scourge of Africa, which is tribalism, and there's roughly, I suppose, about 12 major tribal groupings in South Africa, and generally speaking, they don't like each other, and wars have happened in the past, and there's very high feelings on everyone's side. And this is when the South African constitution, giving much power to the president to appoint people, is very poor in that it's a centralized constitution. It's not sort of federal like the United States is.
We have a caller from Orton, Nebraska. You're on the air.
Good evening. My question, what is the religion of these people?
Of which people? You're talking about the black tribe?
Well, the blacks and the whites, yeah.
Well, the whites are Christians, and the blacks are calling themselves Christians, but it's they believe in their ancestors. It's this is mostly of and of course witchcraft.
Okay. Now, among the whites, is there much knowledge about their Israelite identity?
We have a big Israel identity movement here, but it's not really big enough to have an impact. The mainstream churches are not identity at all. In actual fact, they kosher conservative and had also part in the destruction of the country, especially the Hurley of the Anglican Church was very much involved in the protest marches, and he was a communist. I don't even know if he's still alive, but yes, he worked for the country to be taken over by communism.
You have information about the change in the size of the population for the whites and the blacks?
Oh, the whites are dwindling. According to the figures, we are 4.5 million. I don't know how true that is, but of course the black population is 60 million plus. They don't know how many are here. I got inside information the other day how good this is. I have no idea that we have 78 million blacks in the country and still coming. We have more Zimbabweans in South Africa than Zimbabweans in Zimbabwe. And we have people from Mali. I don't know if you know where Mali is. It's there next to Egypt. So I can't see that this is by accident. We have from the Congo, Nigeria, lots of Nigerians here. They taking over the commerce, of course, because they're very good at it. And this is where they had the clashes and still have clashes. And then they call it xenophobia instead of racial attacks. But the blacks here don't like the Nigerians because they're very good in business. And the Bantu down south, of course, is not so business inclined.
You might mention a little bit about how South Africa was basically uninhabited by blacks when the first white settlers moved in.
Oh, yeah, of course. We had the Hottentots, or the Khoisan, as they call them now, down south at the Cape. And but we didn't have blacks in South Africa. It was empty, void. They moved from the West Coast down to South Africa about the same time the Voortrekkers, the Boers, moved from the Cape to the north. And this is where the clashes started, of course. The Zulus came down also from the north and settled down in Natal. And then there was the big wars by Chaka, the Zulu king, who killed approximately 2 million blacks. Very interesting, just as a side note. They never talk about it, the blacks, because it's always the whites killing blacks, but they will never admit what Chaka did. I mean, it was really a terror down here. This is where the Matabele came in Rhodesia, now known as Zimbabwe. That is a sub-tribe of the Zulus. And Neil is quite correct about the tribalism. It's very fierce. They don't like each other. They, in actual fact, hate each other. And just to explain a little bit about apartheid, it's not only between the blacks and the whites. We had apartheid between the different tribes. We were in the motor trade, and if you have a migrant worker, you've got to apply or place for him to stay in a hostel in the black township. And if you have a Zulu applying and there's no place for him to stay, you'll have to go on the waiting list till there is a place for him to stay, because they cannot put a Zulu with a North Sotho or a Xhosa, because they kill each other. So the whites really protected the blacks killing each other too. And this is why we call Africa now the killing fields of Africa, because now the tribalism came out and they are killing each other like they've been doing before the whites colonized Africa.
Is there public education?
Oh, yes, public education. Yes, if the schools are operating, sir. We had uprising in the north of the country a couple of months ago because they wanted to incorporate one municipality with the other, and they didn't like that, so they burned down 26 schools, I don't know how many hundreds of buses, and a post office in retaliation, because they didn't want that. So, yeah, now there are 26 schools left less in the north. So this is what's happening. If they don't like something, then they burn it down. So it must be built again.
I was going to ask you about the money system. Is there a lot of inflation?
Oh, yes. South Africa is on the brink to be declared a junk state. This is where we are at this moment.
So you mean it's bankrupt?
It's bankrupt, yeah. It's bankrupt. It's being held up by the West. Thank you to America and the rest of the West, keeping us floating. It's bankrupt. Interesting point is that they had a discussion this week about the SABC. This is South African Broadcasting Corporation that had a loss of a couple of million rand. I can't remember exactly, something like 320 million. I can't remember, so I turned on the correction. But the excuse was they lost such a lot of money because of them covering the funeral of Nelson Mandela, who died, I don't know, 2 years ago, 3 years ago. I have no idea. But, yeah, so there's another excuse for money just disappearing. There's a court case going on with the railways, Transnet, because the poor pensioners are not getting their pension. Some of them get the equivalent of about $1 a month. They, the High Court, the Supreme Court, forced them now to make a stand and pay the money, and they appealed against the court decision because they cannot pay it. There is no money. The treasury is empty.
I see that our caller dropped off the line. I'd like to thank him for calling. And if anybody else would like to call, the toll-free number is 877-924-7722, 877-YAWS-RACE. And if there's a foreign listener who'd like to call or anybody would like to call direct, they can dial 678-949-5091. I heard a broadcast just last week by the BBC lauding how wonderful the democracy that came to South Africa was, and they do that quite often, but they don't say anything about, like, white squatter camps and similar situations. You have to learn that from the alternative media. Would you like to comment on what has happened to some of our people down there?
Yes. It's a tragedy. It's such a tragedy. I mean, we have about 1 million whites living in camps. There's one about a mile from me. It is terrible, absolutely terrible. In absolute poverty, they live on handouts. There is no chance of them even getting a job because it's getting worse and worse and worse with the BBEEE, that's the Black Empowerment, getting worse, like affirmative action. I mean, you need affirmative action in a country where the majority is black. I thought it must be the other way around, but anyway, it's not the case. I heard the other day that a certain bank in South Africa, they are complaining they have too many whites working there, so the whites are going to be retrenched and replaced by blacks. Yes, like the camps are really... it breaks your heart, and there's no money coming from the government because they just ignore it. In actual fact, they say it's your turn to live in a squatter camp. And this is the attitude of the government. They will help blacks. And if, example is that we have an orphanage in Pretoria. They have different houses. So they sort of grow up in a family environment. So in this particular house, they have 12 girls, 8 of them white, and 4 of them of mixed race, what we call here colored. And the government cut the monies to this particular house because it's unequal. So they cut the 35% that they give to 17%. And this is the attitude of the government here. But what the shocking thing is that my people are in such denial that they don't even know they are white squatter camps. I had an argument with somebody the other day that the first time he heard about it is when I talked about it. They just don't know. They live in their glass houses and just go into denial and say it doesn't exist. And whites will also really not give to white people. They're so indoctrinated that we're all equal, and the blacks deserve it more, because we can get out of it like we did before. And this is it. So we're fighting on so many fronts. We're fighting, in actual fact, our own. And we're fighting the communist-dominated black government and the rest of the world, like the BBC will tell you how wonderful democracy is. But what do people know about democracy? They have no idea. They think it's just going to vote, and that little cross is giving them some rights. And don't understand that democracy is just more proof.
I believe you help with a charity for white orphans, don't you?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes, I do. I do. We have the Living Waters Foundation, and trying our best, but the money is trickling through. It's really, it's really sad. And we have this white orphanage in Pretoria, 36 white kids. There, and
you want to give some contact information in case anybody would like to help out?
Yes, they can go on to my website, southafricaproject.info, and they will get the information on there where they can send the money to, and there's a PayPal button. Just push the button and make a donation, and I say thank you, because we have 29 babies we're taking care of. Parents cannot get work. They're living in little shacks behind somebody else's house or in a tent or whatever. This is also the other thing is we're talking about thousands of whites living on other people's property who are not living in squatter camps. At least they're better off than the people in squatter camps, but they still need help. Talking about, say, about 200,000 of them. We are trying to help these babies, and all we give them with a little bit of money we're getting is we help them with diapers and food. That's it. No, nothing. No medicine, nothing. Because there's no money to do that. And when they're 2 years old, we cannot help them anymore. That is the cutoff time, 2 years old. So after 2 years, if there's the parents don't have a job, there is no income, and then I really don't know. And they started now an orphanage in Rustenburg with 12 babies. I sent them money the other day that I got from the United States, which I'm very grateful for. And 6 babies have now at least bedding. The other 6 babies don't have any. So this is the situation. And this is what I know, and I'm sure there are other places really worse off and in dire straits. We don't know how many people are dying of starvation. I have no idea. I talked to the squad.
There's not only white denial, but those who do know a little bit about what's going on both in this country and South Africa, they're just kind of armchair warriors who sound off on the internet or in social media and do nothing really to change the situation.
Oh, yes, of course, yeah, well, we're very familiar what I call these people, coffee table warriors. They'll sit there around the table, drink coffee. Maybe that's the mildest they're drinking, and eat cake and still play the Second World War or whatever, and this is as far as it gets, but they will not give $1 to help another white in dire straits. Not at all. And as you say, on the internet, complaining about this or attacking this and or attacking that. So, in actual fact, this, when we talked the other day, is that we really have a white problem. Really have a white problem. They're so in denial of what's happening, that I am, I'm really very, very worried and, about the whites in my country. I'm worried about the whites in your country and what's happening to Europe. that South Africa is an excellent example of what's in store for the rest of the Western world. Just destruction of not only buildings, but of people.
Speaking in general, what has happened to the white morals and standards since South Africa changed to black rule?
It's falling. It's terrible. It's absolutely terrible. In some of these camps, I don't even want to go in detail. I shudder to tell. But I lost my temper the other day at the squatter camp, and I just looked at them and I started yelling, and I said, you know, you got so bad that I just want to put you against the wall and shoot you all, because you scum of the earth. This is what happened. It just rubbed off. There is no moral, nothing. It's a sad state of affairs. We're not only economically on a junk garbage heap, we morally and racially sinking very far.
This is where the standards, of course, have gone down so much since the 1990s as well. That it's very, very apparent and very worrying, of course, as well. Where's the end of all this?
Yeah.
It's not something that we'd like to think about too much, but one must, you know, one's mind towards this sort of thing and fight against it.
Yeah. It's, Neil, education, and there is no education. Just a simple example. The other day I mentioned to a little boy, he's 12 years old, we went past the farm and I said, whose farm was this? And he said, he doesn't know. So I said, well, that was President Paul Kruger's farm, you know. He said, who was he? So the mother immediately attacked me and said that you're unreasonable. How should he know? They don't teach them that at school. They only teach them about how wonderful democracy is and the struggle, we talk about the black struggle, of course. Nothing. So I said, well, can't you tell him? So there was dead silence because it's not her place to do that. Before the teachers taught the children correctly, but there's no correctly anymore. They cannot read, and if they can, they don't understand what they're reading.
I'm sure they're being conditioned by the TV down there too.
Of course, yes, and the environment, because I mean, with the majority we have, and there are no separation in the schools anymore. They have to dumb down the children for these others to catch up, because how are they going to do that? It's impossible.
By the slowest, isn't it?
Oh yes, absolutely. It's we have a president who went to school, how many, 4 years maybe? And also interesting, they don't talk about what he's done in the Quatro camp in Angola when he was there. 80,000 blacks died there, being tortured to death.
That was for our listeners, that was a ANC training camp for terrorism. And they murdered a lot of their own people who didn't sometimes agree with the ANC party line. And it was a very big scandal when it came up in the 1990s. But of course, a lot of it's been brushed under the carpet now.
Well, just
yes.
What is the crime like against whites? You see some news articles about white farmers. Perhaps it's not to the extent that it was in Rhodesia yet, but being killed and the women raped and tortured and things like that, and roving black gangs. Do you have any comments of what's happening in that area?
Yeah, well, as I say, if you don't go on the internet or the alternative media, you wouldn't know how many whites have been murdered, because they're not allowed to mention it on TV or on South African Broadcasting Corporation, not at all. So if they talk about 70,000 plus whites have been murdered, Mike, it's much worse here than what it was in Rhodesia. They had a lot of atrocities there done by the First Brigade of the North Koreans. Here, of course, it's a covert war. It's a slow war. And this is also my people in denial that we're not in a, in a, in a state of war, because they don't see tanks rolling and they don't see planes dropping bombs, but there's an army going around with machetes and stolen guns, killing people. We had here just 3 weeks ago a lady, 4'7", she's about 4'7", small, tiny little lady in her 70s, maybe nearly 80. They broke into a house one city in the morning, and they bound her feet and her hands, and they put duct tape over her mouth, and then they wind her up in her clothes, and then they rolled her in a duvet, and then they rolled around the duvet, her clothes, broke the safe out of the wall, and left, stealing her cell phone. That saved her life. Because they were in the car driving off when the one was playing with the cell phone and pressed the button, and that was the last call she made to her daughter. And of course her daughter could hear these voices, and she immediately knew that something was wrong. Otherwise her mother would have been dead, smothered to death. So she could save her mother. But the whole issue is here, how dare they go into a bedroom and do this? Go into somebody else's house and do things like this. But nothing is done about it. Well, they haven't caught them yet. And if they catch them, what are they going to do with them? Because our prisons are overflowing. And if it gets to court eventually, I think with the murder cases they talk about.
Is the police force and court system, and or is the government totally corrupt?
Oh, totally corrupt. The police, I mean, I have seen pictures of police vans in front of houses, carrying stuff out of the houses, stealing, pulling the back of the pickup truck. So you cannot trust the police. I mean, if you go and you complain about the rape case, most probably you will be raped by the police. This is what's happening.
Both of you have traveled worldwide, not only in this country and South Africa, but Europe and so on. How do you compare what's happening down there and what's happening in the other countries around the world to our race?
Neil, what do you say?
Well, I haven't been to New Zealand for a few years. It's relatively peaceful there, of course, but there's a lot of protest in places like Australia. We've got the situation in Europe with all the refugees coming from the Middle East, Syria and so forth, and it's becoming overwhelming. And there's riots in places like Germany and France as well. You've had the situation with regard to Britain voting to withdraw from the European Union. And if other countries follow suit, then it's possible that the EU may cease to exist in its present form, which would be a good thing, I believe.
I agree with you about that, absolutely. But yes, it's just interesting about Britain. I remember going there so many years ago when a friend, he was in the League of St. George, took me to a suburb in London. And he parked the car and he said, don't get out, but just have a look. And I said, but you know what? It's only black. He said, now you explain to me, is this done by design or is this by accident? And that was in the 70s. Now it's much worse. I think really the camp of the saints are coming home to roost. And this was written so many years ago. Some of your listeners, if you don't know about the book, get it and read it. It's really an eye opener and explain what is happening to Europe now. And, go onto the internet and see what's happening in South Africa. That is also a mirror image of what's going to happen to your country. Because it's just interesting that when they started complaining here about the statues of the Boers, it wasn't long after that they started complaining about the statues of the Confederates in the south of the United States. And I mean, was it 2 weeks ago? They tried to pull down Jackson's statue in New Orleans. Is this also by accident or design? Is there somebody behind all this, instigating all this? Or is it just by emotion? All of a sudden now they're mad at Jackson, who died how many years ago?
You have the George Soros and that type of ilk that are get their hands into everything.
Yeah.
Various Rothschilds and
exactly.
And they have their puppets like Hillary Clinton and Obama and you name it. People's eyes are so closed, there's only a certain level you can talk to them on because they just can't relate.
Mm-hmm. No, they have no idea. And then if you start talking about it, oh, there you go again. It cannot be that bad because really, you know, if you say anything against the Jews, for instance, you can't do that. They're the chosen people of God, but not explaining to you which God they're talking about. But yes, it's by design and interesting. I just did an article the other day, and it's on my website about the Rhodesia, when the constitution was written, they wrote into it that the president will have the power to appoint whomever he likes. And this man, it's the article is the IMF and the legacy of larceny. Interesting that he then made the remark, that was in 1978 when this article was written, that this will be in South Africa too. And it seems to me this is the same story. This is why Zuma can appoint whichever he likes. And who's his boss, really, behind the scenes?
The books published by the Carnegie Foundation back in the 60s where they planned the war against South Africa.
Exactly.
We have another caller from Nunda, New York. You're on the air.
Yes. You made a comment earlier regarding North Koreans. First Brigade North Koreans, did I hear that correctly?
The First Brigade, sir, five.
First Brigade North Koreans?
Not the first. The first, yes. They were fighting on the side of the communists and the terrorists in Rhodesia, yes.
Oh, in Rhodesia.
In Rhodesia, yes.
No longer involved. Okay.
Well, we don't know.
I just find that, as a fact that I was not aware of. Okay, well, thank you. I thought I heard that, and I found it interesting, and I wanted to call and confirm that.
Yes, it was
done. Yeah. No, you're welcome.
The Garvey in Zimbabwe in 1982 against the minority tribe, the Matabele, who are not the tribe of Shonas, which Mugabe is 80% of the population is Shona up there. So he basically committed genocide against the Matabele minority tribe. Just mentioning tribalism again.
Thank you for mentioning that, Neil. Sorry,
we've
Mike.
We've got about a minute left. Would either of you like to make some concluding remarks?
Monica?
Well, what I want to say is that we as whites have to stand up. Otherwise, we will be destroyed. We're standing on the edge of the abyss. It's not even 5 minutes to 12. We're talking about seconds now. We're only 8% of the world's population. So we're a real, very, very, very small minority of the world population. And thank you for listening and thank you for support. God bless you all and all be safe.
Well, thank you for being on the air. I appreciate you being a guest. Do you want to give your contact information for your charity once again?
It's Living Waters Foundation, and you can go on to southafricaproject.info, and all the information is on there. Just press the PayPal button, and I thank you for anything. 50 cents, $50, whatever. Our money is worth nothing. So if I change it in South African rand, I can really go far with it. Thank you so much.
Well, thank you once again for being my guest tonight, and I think it was a very informative program. And I'll
thank you, Mike. You too.
Good night, and God bless you.
Thank you. You too.
We pray that your spiritual ears have received today's message and that you are fed with strong meat relevant to solving the needs of our nation and Christian civilization everywhere. Herald of Truth is sponsored by Kingdom Identity Ministries through the financial support and prayers of listeners like you who love the truth of God's Word and want to see it broadcast throughout the land to awaken His people.
If you would like a
CD
of today's message, tell us the date and station to which you are listening and send a donation to cover our cost plus help with radio time to Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602. We would appreciate donations made by our international listeners to be in U.S. funds. For a free introductory packet of information, including our doctrinal statement of beliefs, plus lists of books and tapes to aid you in your study of biblical truth, write Kingdom Identity Ministries, Post Office Box 1021, Harrison, Arkansas, 72602, USA. Or request this material by calling 870-741-1119. That's 870-741-1119. Visit our internet website by going to www.kingidentity.com. Type www.kingidentity.com. We invite you to listen regularly to Herald of Truth broadcast for more dynamic messages proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom at this same time and station.